So we can get, we'll call the meeting to order. We got a couple of items of other business. The first one being subdivision 2005-52 and 2008-25, Marsh Island subdivision, revised subdivision plan.
This is a revised subdivision plan for a cluster subdivision to consist of 152 lots. The revisions are for proposed changes to the lot and street layout, the addition of street names, changes in sidewalk layouts, and the removal of bioswales, and the provision of revised stormwater management facilities. The revised preliminary subdivision plan noting these changes was approved by the Planning and Zoning Commission at its meeting of August 23rd of last year. The final subdivision plan 2008-25 to increase the plan from a total of 139 lots to 152 lots, that's for a total increase of 13 lots, was approved by the Commission at its meeting of December 13, 2012. The revised subdivision plan complies with the County Zoning Code and the Subdivision Code and all conditions of approval. The tax parcel is District 234, Map 7, Parcels 132, 132.05, 0.06, 0.07, and 1351.00. The zoning district is AR1 Agricultural Residential, and staff are in receipt of all updated agency approvals for the revisions, and therefore the revised plan is eligible for consideration as a final. Thank you.
Any comments before I make a motion?
No.
Mr. Chairman, in reference to 2005-52 and 2008-25 Marsh Island subdivision, I move for approval of the preliminary site plan with final site plan approval subject to staff upon receipt of all agency approvals.
Excuse me.
Second.
Moved and seconded to approve subdivision 2005-52 and 2008-25 Marsh Island subdivision as a final. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Our next item is Massey's Landing Manufactured Home Park revised site plan.
This is a revised site plan for a non-conforming manufactured home community and a separate marina. This plan seeks to document and record the number and location of manufactured homes and marina slips within the park. The alteration, extension, or replacement of any non-conforming manufactured home or accessory structure will be expected to comply with the required setbacks, separation height, and maximum allowable lot coverage. The plan identifies the number and approximate location of structures on each manufactured home site to provide the community and the staff to better manage this manufactured home park in the future. Tax parcel is District 235, Map 25, Parcel 31, and the zoning is AR1 Agricultural Residential Zoning District.
Mr. Chairman, in reference to Massey's Landing Manufactured Home Park, I move for approval of the preliminary site plan with final site plan approval subject to staff upon receipt of all agency approvals.
A second.
It's moved and seconded to approve the revised site plan for Massey's Landing Manufactured Home Park as a preliminary with final approval to be by the staff, subject to receipt of all other approvals. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Okay. Referring back to our public hearings, our first public hearing was subdivision 2019-19, Raymond and Patricia Radish.
So any more discussion on this? Because I'm prepared to make a motion.
I would note if you are looking to make a motion, you could grant preliminary and final as we have all agency approvals.
Okay, very well.
I guess that one interesting thing is that going around to see all these properties, I guess you go down roads that I haven't gone down in a long time. I was like, oh, I forgot about this.
Yeah. This one's paved now.
Yeah, right.
Okay, Mr. Chair, I move that we grant preliminary and final approval of subdivision 2019-19 for Raymond Radish Jr. and Patricia Radish based upon the record and for the following reasons. One, the proposed subdivision generally meets the purpose of the subdivision ordinance in that it protects the orderly growth of the county. Two, the land is zoned AR1, which permits low-density single-family residential development. The proposed subdivision density of 3 lots and 1 residential parcel on 7.732 acres of land is significantly less than the allowable density. Three, the proposed subdivision will be consistent with the area and will not adversely affect nearby uses or property values. Four, the proposed subdivision will not adversely impact schools, public buildings, and community facilities. Five, the proposed subdivision will not adversely affect traffic on area roadways. Six, given the small size of this subdivision, a waiver from the street design and buffer requirement is appropriate. Seven, the preliminary approval is subject to the following conditions. A, There shall be no more than 3 lots and 1 residential parcel within the subdivision.
I can just interrupt. It needs to be residual.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Sorry.
Did I say that? I'm sorry.
Residual. It says residential, and it should be 1 residual parcel.
Thank you.
Sorry. Residual.
B, there shall be a recorded easement for the ingress and egress area, setting forth the maintenance obligations for that easement area among the lot owners served by it. C, all entrances shall comply with all of DLDOT's requirements. D, the final site plan, it's already, I don't need to read D, right?
Yes, please.
Oh, okay. The final site plan shall be subject to the review and approval of Sussex County.
Okay. Second. It's been moved and seconded to recommend approval of condition of the. I'm sorry, it's been recommended. It's not been recommended. It's been approved. Sorry. I have conditional uses on my mind this evening. Pardon me. It's been moved and seconded to approve subdivision 2019-19, Raymond and Patricia Radish, for the reasons and with conditions stated in the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Our next public hearing was subdivision 2019-20, Gail White.
This one does not need a waiver from the street design standards, as there is no road. They're all along the road frontage, and it's a residual, not a residential lot. But this would just be preliminary. They do not have final approvals.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, I move that we grant preliminary approval of subdivision 2019-20 for Gail White based upon the record and for the following reasons. Number one, the proposed subdivision generally meets the purpose of the subdivision ordinance in that it protects the orderly growth of the county. Two, the land is zoned AR1, which permits low density single family.
Residential development.
Residential development.
The next one.
The proposed subdivision density of 3 lots and 1 residual parcel on 7.018 acres of land is significantly less than the allowable density. 3. The proposed subdivision will be consistent with the area and will not adversely affect nearby uses or property values. 4. The proposed subdivision will not adversely impact schools, public buildings, and community facilities. 5. The proposed subdivision will not adversely affect traffic on area roadways. 6. Given the small size of this subdivision, a waiver from the street design and buffer requirements is appropriate. 7. This preliminary approval is subject to the following conditions. A. There shall be no more than 3 lots and 1
residual
parcel within the subdivision. B. There shall be a record easement for the ingress and egress area, setting forth the maintenance obligations for that easement area among the lot owners served by it. C. All entrances shall comply with all of DLDOT's requirements. D. The final site plan shall be subject to the review and approval of Sussex County. Mr. Chairman, that's my motion.
Second. All right, it's been moved and seconded.
Wait.
You don't actually need B, as these are all street frontage lots, so that you don't actually need a maintenance agreement for the easement.
Which one's that, B?
So this one, you can take that one out. Yeah. They don't.
So if you'd like to
amend
it, and remove B and make C, B, and D, C.
You say it again?
If you would like to amend your motion to remove B and make C, B, and D, C.
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to approve as a preliminary subdivision 2019-20, Gail White, for the reasons and with the conditions stated in the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Okay, our next public hearing was conditional use number 2195, Gulfstream Development LLC. Now, we do have to vote on these separately, folks, okay? So I'm going to start with this one. We'll start with the conditional use.
Anybody have any conversation on this?
Well, the discussion can be on the whole thing, but yeah. But we're going to vote on one at a time.
I think there's a lot to consider. There's a lot to consider.
There is.
I do have concerns about the soils and the flooding there.
Yeah, I was the
drainage system is concerns me a little bit, although I know they've made great strides with the pervious, staying pervious. I would know. How about you, Mr. Hopkins? Have you had much experience with that, or?
Well,
go ahead. Or Bruce?
I lived at Providence.
Probably has more than
the neighboring community.
More experience with stuff than me.
And when we'd have, you know, your summer thunderstorms that don't just move through, they park on you. Mm-hmm. Yes, the stormwater management would overflow and flood the lady who lives there. I saw it personally.
Right.
But that happens everywhere at the beach community, like the professional gentleman.
I think they're talking more about what's under the asphalt and that being the storm drain application.
Yeah, I get that. I'm wondering how much of the conversation about the flooding was driven by these, you know.
I can tell you from experience that this is always an issue, and it's always it's frequently in older developments.
Yeah.
You know, in the last 10 years, when the stormwater regulations have really, you know, as much as we holler about how terrible they are, that's why. They're trying to keep those kind of things from happening, and I think it's to some extent it's working.
Some of those summer storms that just park on us, I'm not sure any.
Well, I don't think they're not designed for that.
Yeah.
The thing is, everything is you know, designed to fail. It's just such a wind.
So my point was, is that the flooding they're referring to? Since I'm very familiar with the area, and I'm not familiar with it flooding any other time except extreme conditions, but everywhere else is flooding.
You lived there, you know what it was, so I'm inclined to think that's what it is.
Yeah,
I am too.
I have to say, I was surprised not to see some storm water ponds or some type of retention.
What's been your experience?
In our area, it doesn't work because the groundwater is too high. So you're already, as soon as you put a shovel in the ground, you have groundwater. Because of where we are.
It will have to get approval from the conservation district if approved.
I mean, I'm obviously not an engineer, and
right.
Jeff has done his work on it, but we've never had any success with it.
I have to tell you, the concern about 45 apartments as far as the impact doesn't bother me as much as it bothers a lot of other folks, apparently, because 45 apartments just is not, I mean, 145 would be, you know, a lot of apartments. This is not.
I can agree with that, Mr. Chairman. As I mentioned during the hearing, my only concern is it sets a precedent. There's a big parcel right across the street that could be 180
mm-hmm.
apartments.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if that's.
But changing the zones, we're talking about the whole thing. I mean, that actually, that property cannot be used for farming, certainly.
No. The only thing that could be done under the AR zone would be single family homes. It's 3 acres. You might be able to get 4 or 5 houses in there. You know, the issue we have is whether we like it or not, is the way the code is written, the code supports this type of use there, you know. So there is a lot to consider, And let's bear in mind that this is a conditional use and a change of zone. Conditional use, we can put conditions on.
Yes, sir.
You know, we can definitely put conditions on. What's the effect of changing the zone without the conditional use? If we just change the zone.
Zone and deny a conditional use, then they would be able to do whatever is permitted with that zoning district.
With that GR.
Correct.
Which is basically everything else that's there now.
Correct. It would. It's 4 units.
GR?
The properties to the west and the south are GR. Further west is MR. To the north, it's HR1.
Right. And see, and those are all higher densities than AR, so there's plenty of justification from the code point of view to allow a change of zone. I mean, it doesn't mean we have to. I'm just saying that the code this isn't one of those things where you can point to the code and say, well, clearly, you know, this wasn't anticipated, wasn't thought about, wasn't ever, you know.
Right, because under AR, it can only be single-family.
Yeah.
You couldn't put the townhouses that are
right,
next
exactly.
to there.
Right, exactly. So that's the whole point. So the, you know, and the conditional use, but I hear what you're saying about the parcel across the street, and that I guess that's what the gentleman was alluding to.
And all up and down the corridor.
And about setting a precedent.
Right.
That probably concerns me more than this.
It's a conditional use.
Somebody brought
just
up.
For clarification, the parcel across the street is smaller than the parcel that is being considered right now.
The Melson parcel?
The parcel.
No, I'm talking
about the Melson parcel.
Melson,
okay, because you said across the street, so
yeah,
I'm thinking directly across
yeah.
the street.
Yeah.
Well, that's already zoned B1.
Okay.
The whole thing?
The whole thing's
B1, right? How many acres are it right now?
So if they did townhouses on that property, how many could they fit on?
On the.
I was more disappointed that I thought it was more affordable housing, not market rate.
Yeah.
Well.
I thought we were going to address part of the need there.
I mean, it sounds like he
the entire parcel is zoned B1, the Melson Prospect.
And how big is it?
How big it is, that pink one.
How many acres is that piece? It's a pretty good sized piece of ground.
A little under 10 acres.
Yeah, but that includes what the nursing home is sitting on, right? Or the funeral home.
Yes, that's safe.
Yeah, that's right.
That is. Not little less, it's 9.9 acres,
yeah,
and it's all zoned B1.
Yeah. Effectively, though, you can only develop about half of it without tearing a funeral home down. You know, the funeral home sits right in the, you know,
in the middle.
In the middle of it.
So. Do you think there's properties in that vicinity which would look to do the same thing, or do you think it's pretty stable?
There's not a lot of land left for development. I mean, this area is pretty developed. And it looks like a lot of the land left is smaller acreage.
Yeah. Okay. So the suggestion that we might have a 200 or 300 unit application just didn't land there and support it. But here's a good question. Keller was asking. About in the B1 zone, when we redid the zoning, did we take the cascading out? Did we take, because you know, it used to be if you had, you know, C1 zoning, you could do anything in C1 or lower. Did we do that? Do we still? Because the question is, if you were doing residential, can you do residential in B1? And if you were, what would the density be?
I'm looking at the code.
I was going to say, I can tell that you're calculating.
Actually, reading the code.
If they did like townhouses, how many townhouses could they fit on?
That's what we're going to find out.
It
would be a conditional use. Residential is a conditional use in the B1 zoning district.
Well, there you go.
So
it's whatever we say it is.
Yeah.
If they make an application for, so that's good. We have a lot of control.
And I'm going to guess it's, for a single family, it'd be 10,000 square feet, so it's 4 units to the acre.
Would be about the most you could do there.
Without checking the table at the end.
Right, yeah, I get it.
It's
okay. Yeah, I don't
base
see,
zoning would be 4 units to an acre.
I'm just looking up and down the street. I mean, the precedent question is a darn good question. I'm thinking, though, that there's really not much. What's that big piece to the north? What's that?
That's an ocean view, isn't it?
Well, that's town of Ocean.
Yeah.
We will verify. It is not.
No.
What belongs to us? How big is that?
A little less than 30 acres.
Where is that?
Oh.
There's your big one.
Yeah, but it's 30 acres.
What's on that one now?
Which kind of ag preservation is it under?
Is it an ag preservation?
No,
it is not. Because
that's what I just
next to that. Oh, okay.
Actually, I thought that was part of what they were developing.
Well, I will say this, that, you know, approving something, and although the argument gets used, you know, a lot, it may set a precedent, but it doesn't have to be a precedent. You know, it really does not have to be a precedent. If somebody comes in and says, well, you let that guy do it, well, that guy was doing 45 units on 3 acres. You're talking about, you know, 30-acre piece. Yeah, there's no way that could possibly be sustained. I know there's a room full of people here that disagree with me, and I understand that. 45 apartments is not a lot of apartments, really. But I understand that every little bit contributes to the issue. I'm more concerned about the drainage.
I'm concerned about the drainage.
You know, I would, especially in light of the, you know, the high water table, and is that really, you know, is it really going to work? I mean, I know you can design something to a...
They'll have to get approval from the conservation district, and if they can't get approval from the conservation district, they will not move. They won't be able to move forward.
Yeah, that's true. I know that.
So, and right now they have a proposed plan, but it has not been reviewed nor approved by the conservation district.
You know, I wish I had pressed them a little more on how much research has been done to this point. Do they know where the water table is on their property?
Yeah.
Because you're right. The gentleman from Pennsylvania. I'm sure that's correct. If you stick a shovel in the ground, you get water at 12 inches. You're not going to drain anything. You're going to fill up your stone bed with groundwater, and that's going to be the end of it.
Yeah, right. Yep. You're already at the water.
I mean, water does seek its own level.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have a clay layer, if you have a silt clay layer, and then you have water that accumulates, you know, like during the wet season, then it's in there. Then yes, but if you can truly tie into that water, like I fixed ponds that we just never drained by going and digging it out, you know, pumping it down, digging it out, getting it below, getting into the good sand, and then making sure no sediment silt can get its way back in there and make another layer, liner, if you will, the water purges. And 20 years later, that thing is still working.
Well, and that's what would be incumbent upon the applicant to do and to demonstrate for the soil conservation people that they're, you know, they have to design something that works, and if they know the water table's high, then they have to figure that out.
But what I think the guy had a good point, and Holly, you know, this asphalt they're talking about, it's like a new version of the old popcorn or something. Is that right?
Yes.
So
it's going to allow seepage.
So, but like the guy says, garbage trucks and sediment, I mean silt, once that silt fills into that hot mix, it doesn't work.
Do they also have catch basins?
That was expert testimony.
Unless this design is going to be different, they're relying on that.
It has to go through the hot mix.
Yes. That's what the intention of that.
I thought about that. I almost asked Jeff to come back up and really explain that.
Yeah.
How that works.
Yeah.
But I don't even know how he could even explain it to us if he hasn't gone any further with.
But can we deny an application based on drainage concerns or flooding concerns where we have to rely on?
Well, land use is part of it, and soils is one of the things that it's like 66 something or other. We do have to look at, we can look at the soils in making our decisions.
Yeah, I would like to see a cross section of it. They talk like they're going to dig out underneath the roads, away, you know, a ways, and put
unless they're planning on bringing in a whole lot of different 57s
or something in there, and then if you can get down into the sandy water table and then backfill with stone, as long as the hot mix doesn't get plugged up, you know, that would work.
There's a lot of as long as it ifs.
Yeah,
I have a question about the soil conservation district, because are they in the business of saying yes? As we were told, Department of Transportation is. I mean, that was a surprise to me when the guy said, "My job is not to say no. My job is to find out a way
to say how."
Yeah.
And so
the Conservation District has rules and regulations that they have to meet regarding stormwater management. They can't meet. We've had developments
Yeah, I think.
Expire because they couldn't get approval from Conservation District.
I can tell you from personal experience, they will say no.
They will.
Okay, that's, I mean, I just, you know.
And this is a case where they would do it.
Yeah.
Because if this doesn't work, you have got a serious mess on your hands.
Yeah. Yeah, they'll have to come up with a different, a plan B or plan C or whatever it is until they can provide the documentation to Conservation District that it will address the stormwater management concerns based on what they're proposing.
So that being the case, would the commission rely on Sussex County Conservation instead of us?
Right, well.
But you can, but again, I was just saying, you can consider soils.
But we can have a stipulation.
Well, it's just, I guess it's foregone. It's just a foregone conclusion that they, that they being the experts, they're the ones that get the final say on.
Yeah, typically they have to meet or exceed the requirements from the Sussex Conservation District.
Yeah, they.
Because if they can't, then they don't move forward.
But Vice Chairman Stevenson does point out accurately that it is a consideration in our decisions, so.
I'm just trying to get clarification on how a motion would be crafted around our obligation to consider it.
Yeah, that's a good, that's a good question too, because and that bears some thinking about, because we do have the ability to put conditions. I don't know what that condition would look like or sound like, how that would be.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
that's why.
How you would write that, because
Sussex County Conservation.
I mean, that would be one of those we'd have to ask our attorney, but there was something, because I remember one time I asked about that one of, I mean, there's one of the developments that came in had, you know, when I read through it, I'm like, it says you've got poor soils here that you can't develop. And he's like, oh, yeah, we know that, but we're going to change the soil. So.
Well, okay, that's in the record, right? That report is in, it's in the record, so the commission knows or could know that there are not good soil conditions there.
I'm also worried about buffers, trees, the whole, you know.
Yeah.
So, okay. But I would like to point out that my argument was made tonight by these people, even that all these developments have one exit onto the road and it's very unsafe.
Then they will tell you, we don't want that traffic through our development. Okay, well, you know, pick one.
Well, we need the low income housing, but not in my backyard.
I mean, we thought that, you know, were you here, even here when we did that, when we first started doing this interconnection?
Oh, yeah.
We thought we were striking a real blow for freedom.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Everybody that came in just did not want that. And it's because the roads are privately maintained,
yeah,
which is the best argument there is for requiring everybody to build to the state standard, put them in the state system, and then
color
that
it.
Argument goes away.
Yeah. That is a higher decision than me and this
that,
body.
Yeah, I know. We don't make that decision.
Well, that was the one that I was hoping we could get with
but
the
comp
plan.
Right,
which is funny, is like this one, if they connected all the way to the apartment dwellers, aren't going to go back that way. The people in the development to the west are going to cut through the apartment complex.
Yeah, no, yeah. There's no cutting through for.
There's no reason for the apartments to cut through, but there's a reason for the residential to cut through the apartments.
Absolutely, and that was what I was thinking when they were saying we don't want that. I was thinking, well, you know, the traffic's not going toward you. It's mm-hmm. gonna, if you have the access, you're gonna be going through their parking lot. You know, because they have no reason in the world to want to go into your development unless they're just taking a walk, which they can do, and unless we tell them that they have to build a wall. You know, build a wall.
Building walls,
build a wall, and the neighbors are gonna pay for it.
Oh my gosh.
So. All right, it's getting late.
Yeah. What do you have, the last time on here?
No, I don't. But somebody's going to hit it right on the nose. So, looks like somebody's going to hit it right on the nose. But anyway, anything else to, before we call for the motion on this? I would suspect we're going to defer action this evening.
That's what I would suspect.
All right.
Would you like a motion?
Sure, absolutely.
Mr. Chairman, in reference to CU 295 and CZ.
Actually, we got to do them one at a time.
No, you got to do one at a time.
One at a time.
Yeah.
In reference to CU 2195, Gulfstream Development LLC, Kent Apartments, I move we defer for further action.
Second.
Further consideration.
Okay, there you go.
Thank you.
Second. It's been moved and seconded to defer action on conditional use number 2195, Gulfstream Development LLC, Kent Apartments. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Our next item is change of zone number 1895, Gulfstream Development LLC.
Mr. Chairman, in reference to CZ 1895, Gulfstream Development LLC, Kent Apartments, I move we defer for further consideration.
A second.
It's been moved and seconded to defer action on change of zone number 1895, Gulfstream Development LLC. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, that completes our agenda for the evening. Does anyone else have anything for the good of the order?
I'm just curious, what's happening with the one that came like 3 weeks ago where they were putting up posts so people couldn't drive down to the water and the guy said
first
that's
time
not what's supposed to happen?
That will be back in as soon as Vince decides he wants to come to a backdoor planning commission meeting, and I apologize, Vince. No, that'll be coming back. We met with them about a couple weeks ago and they provided a lot of information that we are reviewing so we can have a good determination and information when it comes back to you. It'll probably be back in your next meeting, which is in 2 weeks.
I went and visited.
2 whole weeks off.
Yeah. 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 It's over 5 weeks. We've done almost as much work as 3 months.
I know.
Yeah.
We've
I
been busy.
You know more than
that. Yeah. Yeah. Janelle's like, yeah, telling me. Preaching to the choir.
Again, about 15 years ago when we went through this, we had the bright idea we were going to meet 3 times a month, and we did for a number of months. But the problem is your meetings eventually outstrip your advertising, and you can't stay caught up with it. So, okay, anything else for good of the order?